to fill the gap in the funding model of existing CSUS three-way system. Please, I would love you to concentrate also on the administration of the CSUS in terms of standardized procedures between the different CSUS. Are there guidelines available to training providers? We know of many learners that wait for certificates for months, a basic administrative issue. Their files are not moderated, verified, etc. The timelines for training institutions since the inception of a project until, you know, it's approved by the CETA and the training provider is ready and on site, etc. And then also, obviously, the costs of training. I think training under the CETAs, and the minister has referred to this on a few occasions, has just become exorbitantly expensive. We need to bring down the costs of training. Then I would be proposing that you also look at the strengthening of accredited assessment centres. We just find too often that the trainer is also the assessor and therefore judging his or her own work. And in the end, we're just looking at nice portfolios, but there's no independent assessment really of the students' learning. The consistency and expectations from the department, the targets that are set, you know, then the department has said we must go rural, then we must go new venture creation, then we must do this. I just believe that the department has contributed to the sorry state up to now, and not this department. Obviously, it rested with another department, so it's easy to blame them. And then, reporting on the goals and the targets of the CETAs. You know, they come here with high figures. They say they've exceeded sixfold the targets, but I'm not sure if that really presents learning that has taken place. I know of many learners with matric certificates who are doing communication on level 2, you know, getting 20 credits for that, etc. No learning took place. It's a farce that's being presented to us, because we're into the training and the learning game. That's what should be measured. Then the strengthening of training providers, be they private, be they public, I believe that the history of the last 10 years has not been very favorable. I won't expand on that, but many good training providers have left this whole game, and unfortunately we're often left with the desperate ones that don't, I believe, give quality service. And lastly, I would like you also to look at the whole issue of this outcomes-based nature of the training, the fact that there are no independent assessments, the fact that we don't require of learners, for example, to still write a test or an exam or something like that, which has fallen in disfavor, but I feel unjustifiably so. I think we need a mix of that, and I would love the committee also to concentrate on that nature of the training and the whole outcomes-based issue and the fact that we don't have those independent assessments by people who can put standards and who can really say, well, listen, of this class, these people really are meeting the expectations of this qualification. Thank you, sir. Was it a bit quick, but I can expand later on if any of the committee members would like me to.
Honourable Scott.
Thanks, Chairperson. If this information is available elsewhere, I would stand down on this question. But just looking at the team, except for one name that I can recognize, the others I can't. And I'm trying to ask myself, where do these task team members come from? What experiences, what skills are they bringing into this kind of thing? It would be very interesting for one to know that. The second thing relates to, I'm not sure if I heard Mr. Majola very well, but as he was talking, I had a sense and I was saying, another possibility of another new landscape. As you are saying, because he says, no, we'll also look at, you know, how they are arranged and all those things. But then maybe I'm saying this against the understanding that as they are currently constituted, they've been licensed for 5 years. So I just want to know whether they are already looking at input into NSDS4. That may be coming. But the other thing is, you'd know, Chairperson, I've said this, that I've been in the CETA system for 9 years, I think. We have been given reports as board members and all those things, even management. But I'm not one thing that I'm not hearing, because criticism has been that compliance. Is the task team also going to look at impact study, the impact that the CETAs have had? Because I think Carmen, she was also talking about ticking the boxes. You can just do that and repeat the many things that have been done. You are saying the report, the AG is very happy, but the beneficiaries or people who are supposed to benefit are not happy at best. At worst, they don't even know what you're talking about when you talk about CETAs. So I want to know if there is going to be, you know, some kind of impact study outside the CETAs themselves. Thanks for now.
Thanks, Jefferson. Mine is on the skills delivery. Jefferson, I feel very strongly about the issue of experiential learning. And we've got all these graduates out there whose graduation does not mean, their certificates don't mean anything because they can't complete their experiential learning. So I'd like the task team to look at, you've got these companies that are contributing the skills levy, but yet at the end of the day, they're not prepared to take any of these students into their institutions and into their companies. So in your analysis and in your planning, look at how this can be dealt with in future, and how we can, how the department, you know, can legislate if necessary, but deal with this particular issue. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My first question will be around the task team members. Three of them have been introduced to us, because one of the main reasons for this meeting was to introduce the task team members to us. My question will be, it can be on two folds, as to say, are the other members not around just because of cost, or it's because they are committed somewhere, or is it an indication that whilst we're in the initial stages of the task that is ahead of you, we see some of the members not even picking up why we have come to introduce ourselves to the team, so that you can indicate to us when, if ever there is a problem around the way that you're functioning. Another thing, Chair, looking at the huge chance ahead of this task team, I'll be happy if the task team can just be honest to us, as to say, given the time that we have up until the end of July, meaning that it's only 2 months now that we have, do you see yourself having done what you have been tasked to do, so that we don't expect much whilst we're not practical enough, you see, if ever we can get that indication, because really when looking at the task that is ahead of you, for me, 2 months is not, I cannot say after 2 months we can get what we really want to get out of your task, but then if ever we can get that indication from the task team itself. Again, Chair, I know members have talked about it, as to say, in the report that we're expecting, I think the issue of the reliable information that you get from the CETAs is quite important. We've got lots and lots, piles and piles of information of the reports that you get from the CETAs, but the reliability of it, time and again, when they come to present, it's very much questionable. If ever really we can work on that one, the targets that are being set, the Chair, when he opened, talked about that, what targets are they? Because we can set very low targets and to say they have delivered. Really, if ever we can have a benchmark as to say whatever targets that are there, they are going to make an impact in making sure that the skills are being delivered the way that we wish them to be delivered. Lastly, Chair, on governance, when I just paced through the presentation that they've given us, when they talk of board members, the management of boards, I think that is another quite an important point, as to say we really need that one to be legislated and regulated the way it is happening. Because ever since we started dealing with the sitters, we know there's quite a huge number of board members where I'm not sure whether they all have an impact on the functioning of the sitters. Maybe we better rely on quality rather than quantity that we have on the board, but I think that's one other area that the task team have to look at, so that we manage those board members, because there's so much that they come up with, but it does not equal to the task that is in front of them. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to ask a pertinent question. But my question is, it will arise from this presentation. On page 2, I see that on the 7th of March, the minister appointed a task team. And as my colleague has said, and we are expected on end of July to submit your first phase report on your findings to the CETA. But my question is that currently, what process are you involved in? Are you assessing the, I will call it a sector, the sitters, the information that is there, so that when end of July your first report, it is informed about your assessment, what have you found when you were doing your assessment, or you're just going to present a report through the information I don't have a better word, the information that is raw. But for me, the first phase, I think you first of all assess, scan the environment, then you'll be able, you know, to move forward. Because I know you have met with the DG and you have committed yourself. Okay.
Honorable Moni, anything that you would like to say?
Thanks, Chair. Well, what I think the committee or the team should look into is a strategy that sustains skilled people in certain sectors of the economy, particularly construction and mining, because experience is showing that some qualified engineers are marketing directors, marketing executives elsewhere. If we don't deal with that, then we will be working on skills, and people escaping or getting out of the sectors because of the roughness that you find in such sectors of the economy. For instance, if one is a qualified engineer in the mining sector, you start from being a miner, a mine overseer, and then you become an engineer. You must accumulate a number of hours working underground. In the construction sector as well, you experience the rough weather or the rough manner in which people are treated. Irrespective of whether you are a qualified engineer or not, you go through such processes as initiation at school. And then that leads into the situation that I've just explained, that of having qualified engineers selling rice.
Now I'll give it to the members of the task team to react to what honorable members said. And I think in the main what members are saying is to, from their perspective, give a picture of what the expectations are when the report comes back as to the areas that would have been dealt with by the task team, of course, within the context of the broad framework as determined by the department and the ministry. Can I? In response, I don't know who would start first from the team.
Thanks very much. We appreciate the input, so we will take those into account as we continue for our work. With regard to the profile of members, the information is available, I'm sure. I was told, in fact, when this information was sought, that honorable members here might want to have sight of this, so they understand where the members of the task team are coming from. So we'll work with the department to make sure that the information is made available. I know there were one or two members whose information we did not have, but this we can complete and send through. Are we seeing a new landscape? This is an important question. When we finish our work, we may find that the CETA landscape as it is now may not be effective and therefore has got to be changed. So we'll have to have a discussion at that point. We do understand that the licensing now is in place for the next 5 years. But would the report of this task team lead to a review of that? I think my immediate answer would be, yes, we think so. At what point? Maybe after 5 years. That discussion we've got to engage at that point. The issue for us is the design has got to be appropriate in order to deliver the skills that we want delivered. So when that happens, perhaps after the 5 year period. So that's an issue that we'll come back when we finish the report. With regard to skills delivery and the questions of work experience, I think it's an important area that we will be looking at. As we said, our approach is a simple one. So one of the things our national priorities, is to grow the economy and to grow employment. So if we want to do that, skills are critical, and skills are critical in certain sectors of the economy. So we're going to have to look at where are those needs, what is the current supply, how do we get those skills produced, and how are they going to be placed, including these questions of how do those who come out of training receive experience, work experience. So it's a practical issue for us about on this one, because we don't want to come out with a good report, but all we have done is to go through the exercise of compliance like many of the bodies would do. So we want to see what is the impact that the skills bodies are making with regard to delivery of skills. So in terms of the numbers, but in terms of the quality of those skills. So that's going to be our primary focus. One of the things we've been looking at preliminarily is that we do think that the CETAS and the CETAS system as a whole may be doing a lot of things, including a lot of investment in things that may not necessarily be dealing with the actual production of skills and of the relevant skills. Now, we want to see how can we focus the entire of the sector system on doing more work, putting more funds, putting more time into the actual delivery of skills, because we do a whole range of things that may not at the end be producing the skills that we require. So, and the relevance of those skills is an important issue for us. And the test is, can those who acquire the skills be placed, and are they making any a difference in the economy? So we're going to want to produce a report that responds to those practical challenges of different sectors of the economy. So where are we now, Chair? We have gathered a lot of information. A lot of work has happened in this skills terrain. So we have gathered information on the reports that have been produced so far. The three teams are now, we have commissioned research on areas that have not been covered. So in the next 2 months, we'll be synthesizing the reports that exist, complete some research work that we've commissioned, and then put the report together. Will we finish, have a final report by the end of July? The task team's view is that we may not be in a position to do so, but we will give a report, perhaps with recommendations on of what next to do. So that's where we are.
So now
we've got
I was interested in the question asked by Honorable Gina, because I think for me it's very important. 4 months, maybe a bit over 4 months for the task team. And then if you do that, you really need people who are going to prioritize. We've been asking about where do these people come from. Because maybe there are some of them that are highly skilled but not available at all. Why you have more apologies from such people. And the question is, why are they not here? Could it be that they are not prioritizing the work of the task team?
Majora?
The department did receive the apologies, Chair, so I think it is better if they respond to that. I do know that some of the members were not out of the were not inside of the country, so I'm not sure if that's still the case. So Mr. Temba Mhambi is here at Parliament in another portfolio committee, making a presentation on behalf of one sitter that he's administrator of at the moment. Mr. Mtunzi, I'm sure, he was supposed to be at the ILO. He's only coming back beginning of, I think, during the course of this week. So he's out of the country. I think I didn't get the apologies of Mr. Butsavelo and Christine Olifir. I'm sure we can get that. But Cheto also just elaborate on the question. Yes, it is true that we do have members who are busy, many of them quite skilled, but who are busy with other things. So what in the subcommittees that we have set up, what we're trying to do is to get those subcommittees almost to do full-time work on these matters so that they can then bring reports to the members of the task team. But so far, members of the task team have been available to attend meetings. It's unfortunate that others can't make it to this meeting. But if those two share, I'm not sure what their apologies have been.
Implication from the department?
Thank you, Chair. I think as the chairperson of the task team has indicated, so far the experience that we've had is that the task team members have made themselves available despite the fact that they have been busy. I think today's meeting, in fact, the task team had its meeting, I think, 2 weeks ago when we were talking about coming to the portfolio committee. And then we talked to the portfolio committee, and then we were given a date immediately. So, and other people had already made other commitments.
So I think it was just a question of short notice. And we also wanted to take advantage of this opportunity to come to the portfolio committee. So we said the members who are available will come, but then we will plan properly next time so that all of them do come. But I mean, from the department side, providing support to the task team, so far we haven't experienced any problem with their availability. If that happens, then we will also report, I think, accordingly. But so far, it has been fine.
Okay.
It's just a follow-up out of interest. Out of the three subcommittees that the Chairperson of the Task Team has talked about, we know the two that are leading the skills planning and delivery amongst the members of the committee or of the team. I can be interested again to know what about these other two subcommittees, because he indicated that on skills and planning it's Ms. Kamel and Professor Fodga. Yes, because I know when even their profile come, it will be nice for us to attach whatever duties they've been given us. Yeah, if ever we can know the leaders of these different committees.
I think just to remind the department, in our last interaction with the chairpersons of the CETAs and the CEOs, we emphasized that we need service level agreements that are very meaningful and qualitative to be entered into between the CETAs and the acting director general. And as we'll be discussing the annual performance plan incorporated in the staff plans of the CETAs, we expect that to be accompanied by a service level agreement that clearly articulates the six is five plus one, the six tools. And I want to repeat it again for record. It is the service level of the minister and the president, because the performance of the minister and the committee are going to be determined on the basis of the extent to which we have covered ground in terms of that. Secondly, it is the National Skills Development Strategy 3. The third one is the Human Resource Development Strategy of the country. The fifth one is the industrial action, industrial policy action plan, two. And the third one, the fifth one is the new growth path and the very service level agreement that would have been entered into between the CETA and the department articulating the five. I'm saying this because it is going to be an extremely difficult exercise for this committee to approve of a strat plan that is a caricature of these six instruments. In other words, I mean, a plan that doesn't articulate those elements in terms of the immediate, targets, medium-term targets, and long-term targets. But as a way of advice, we have got 50 further education and training institutions that are public. We have got 23 universities, six of which are universities of technology. And those universities are required as of law to have a learnership for this or experiential training for students to complete their programs. And we said in our discussion that all students who are currently registered probably for their final year, who must do experiential learnerships or whatever it is called, they must be placed. And we as a committee we'll check with the universities and the FETs to get those statistics. And we'll check as to which sitters are relevant for placing those students. And we'll check whether indeed there are places where those people are going to be placed, so that nobody ever drops out of these institutions on the basis that they've never had any placement. That is one matter of emphasis which I think I must make at this stage, because next week we're going to continue with our sitters. And already on our table, there are three strike plans that have been assessed by me, and I've seen that they've done actually little or nothing. And if there's no service level agreement, it's better that they must not come. Others that are ready, really ready in terms of what we need, must come. Because this parliament is not necessarily a place where we just talk things that must not be done. Once we commit ourselves as a parliament that will approve things on the basis of particular things, that must be done. I think the center of the committee and our researcher must transmit the message to the relevant sitters that a sitter that comes here, they must come with a clear service level agreement. If they don't have, they must not come. Those that come must be ready. And then the committee, you should provide us with those tools that I referred to, so that we can on that day have them on our tables and go into a very clear exercise of determining whether they comply. And that those documents, including the strike plans, must come in reasonable time to allow members to do that exercise, because it is not going to be just a ritual. I know I was happy, Honorable Rico, when they were responding. I think also maybe on our side as Parliament in the restoration, when we do invitations, we should do that a little earlier. There has been a concern that was raised by, I don't know whether it was HISA, but it was a bit a short notice, because professors have got many commitments apparently. I don't know much about how they work. So you find that they must go to another place, to Max Scripps, or to offer a lecture and do all that. And now we had invited them to come here, and they felt it was on a short notice. So that in our structuring of our plan, we should really know that even though we are parliament, it doesn't mean that we must not have courtesy towards institutions that we invite to appear before us. Let's strengthen that area, because I avoided saying when did we invite them, because then it would have meant that we are not doing our work on our side. Parliament is always apparently doing work very well, I understand so, because we understand all these compliance systems and so on. In so saying, I'm trying to say the committee is going to be working very hard regarding approval of the strat plans of our sitters, and that we need the sitters to help us. Then the department will transmit that to sitters in good time, and where some of the information may be required from the department, that must be done. Lastly, in the meetings that the department has had with the portfolio committee, there are certain things that must be done or ought to have been done. The sector of the committee will transmit a document that reminds the department as to what they must do or ought to have done, so that by the end of June, it's going to be the first quarter for assessment, so we're going to expect a report from the department. That report must not be a general report. It must be a report that responds to the targets that this parliament approved, to say we said we are going to expand access to higher learning. How many students have been admitted in our 50 FETs, our universities, including maybe the private sector and so on, responding to our agenda as the state in that regard. Then we look how many people have been placed in South Africa, and all that. So that exercise must start now, so that by the end of June, when we do our exercise, we should really be marching in an orderly line, as in the military. When heads go in front, is at the same time. You know, they are very precise, and we would like our committee to also be very precise in terms of ensuring accountability in all these areas. I think that is the message which we thought we should take advantage of this meeting to advance to you. We should thank the members of the task team for having made their time to meet with the committee. We really understand the mammoth task that lies ahead of you, and we'll give you the necessary support that you require of us. We as a committee have got an open door policy, just that we closed this door because of weather reasons. We are willing to help you wherever you experience challenges. We will not unduly interfere with your process. We think you've been appointed on the basis of your expertise, experience, and a genius to help us solve very challenging problems of our time. Yes, and then you maybe, I don't know how members will also take advantage of that exercise to transmit more thoroughgoingly on the substance of the project. You know, we really would like to see this CETA landscape being very qualitative. If there is a way in which you would like us to appear before the task team as contributors of ideas, we will structure that, and then I'm sure members will be willing to do so. Yeah, thank you very much. This brings us to the end of the meeting, as members are going to extend public committees. Thank you very much. Yeah.